For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
From the alley-oop to Kezar to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback Podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. I want to talk about defensive gems in the NFL draft. And what exactly is a defensive gem? Well, for me, some call them sleepers. These are guys that are probably going to go rounds four and beyond, potentially even undrafted free agents. That might just surprise some people that are good fits. And of course, whenever we're talking about these guys, there's plenty of guys that I like, but that are probably going to end up on other teams and aren't exactly 49ers fits. So with the caveat being they have to be 49ers fits, I'm trying to find players at positions of need. Now, what I started doing was I made a list, and I've continued to narrow down that list. So we're not going to go through the full list of guys that I really like that are potential late-round gems, but we're going to get into some of the guys that make more sense and kind of fill holes for the 49ers, but also how the 49ers traditionally draft. So that's going to be the key in this episode. It's going to be guys that are late round guys. Some of them you've probably heard of. Some of them you may have not heard of. Maybe they're just guys that I've been keeping an eye on. But there's a few things that I really like with late round guys. I like to find traits that are unique. So elite traits in late round guys. Maybe they don't do the best right now technique wise. There's some question marks. That's why they're falling so far in the draft. But if you can find an elite trait, maybe they're really fast or super explosive, or they're good in one area of the game, then you can take those guys and you can mold them into good football players. And the 49ers have been tremendously good about finding players in rounds four through seven, and they become big-time players. We can think of a bunch right off the top of our head that have been starters for the San Francisco 49ers. You talk about Dre Greenlaw, fifth-round pick. You've got Talanoa Fonga, fifth-round pick. Diamador Lenore, fifth-round pick. You've had other guys step up as well throughout the years that have made big-time plays for the 49ers, including guys like Brock Purdy, who they got in the seventh round. So DJ Jones late in the draft. There's a lot of guys. And then you have undrafted free agent gems like Azeez Al-Shaair. So 49ers definitely do a very good job with the way that they draft, the way that they scout, and the way that they sign players in the undrafted free agent market. So let's talk about some of the players in this episode that could be late round gems. Of course, through the years, I've hit on some, I've missed on a lot. That's kind of how this thing goes, but it's kind of the eye of the beholder. And a lot of times you're looking for guys that fit that role. So right before we get into this episode, like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. Listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe. Please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, the game starts here. And if you're going to be joining me for the draft, and I'm going to be on 49ers Rush with John Chapman for days one and day two. Of course, on day one, the 49ers pick at the end of the first round. So shortly after the draft, I'm going to be right here on YouTube, and I'm going to give my account of the first pick if the 49ers make a pick. If not, we'll be discussing a little bit, a look ahead at day two, potentially what's still available. That will be an episode that comes out immediately following the draft. And then, of course, for all audio, it's going to go up as soon as I'm finished recording. So you guys can check that out on your drive the next day. If you want to watch it live, of course, the commentary with John Chapman, head on to 49ers Rush, and you can check that out. And join me after the 49ers make their pick at 31. Day two, I'm going to be with them as well. But I'm going to jump out after the 49ers make their pick at 63. I'm going to come on over to 49ers Cutback, and I'm going to talk about pick 63. Join me for that. And then, of course, after they make their last pick at 94, if that is their last pick, then I will jump out and I will do another recap of the 49ers picks in rounds two and three. And we will discuss what it looks like for day three. And if you are a crazy person and you love the draft as much as I do, join me for day three of the NFL draft in its entirety on YouTube. Come on over. I'm going to be live the entire time. I've made this a tradition over the last few years. It's a complete marathon. People come in and out the entire time, and it's a lot of fun. And we were there as everyone was saying, hey, we need Brock Purdy, and then it happened. So it's a lot of fun if you guys want to do that. And then, of course, I will record a recap, and that will be available on audio platforms and on YouTube as well. If you don't want to watch the entire live stream, I completely understand. You don't want 6 hours plus of content. I get it. So you guys could check in for the shorter content. So I really appreciate you giving me the time to tell you what's going to happen here this week for the draft, because it's a really good time. But let's get into these defensive gems, and there's some really good players. And it was funny, the other day I did a mock draft, and there were some question marks about some of the guys I went with. I love Ellis out of Utah as an edge defender, but not a lot of people like him. And I liked him a lot in that situation. I think he's got unique pass rush skills that I like. But the next guy was somebody that my guy Jay Ellie, one of the guys who's a big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of him, he said, hey, what about Muhammad Kamara? You should have went with Muhammad Kamara. And I do like Muhammad Kamara. Muhammad Kamara makes my draft gems, because I think he's going to go post round four, and he could be into round four, round five, where he adds tremendous value. And why Mo Kamara adds so much value is he's got an elite trait. He runs a 4.5 40 as an edge defender. The guy is absolutely quick, and you're talking about a guy that's got good size as well. Not really big. I think if there was any question mark about him, it would be the size. 6'1", a little over 240 pounds, but he's running and moving at a high rate of speed. I like him. He's got elite speed. He's one of the top 90 percentiles in the 40 at the combine. His 10-yard split and broad jump, he's in the 90s in all of those categories. He's got great first-step quickness off the ball, a Chris Derrick trait. A GTFO is what he talked about last year with Robert Beal, and Mo Kamara adds that. So he gets a lot of pressure on those offensive tackles. They've got to get deep quickly, or he's going to absolutely fly right past them. Love that about him. He's got a nice repertoire of moves when it comes to his skill set. He does a good job with his double hand swipes. He's got a really good dip and rip. And then, of course, he's got his club and swim moves. So a proficient amount of pass rush ability coming from him. He has a bull rush at times, which could make you very potent, because if they have to worry about your speed getting upfield, and then you could two-hand get them, or straight arm, single arm, get that distance between and get a good bull rush going, then you have the ability to make some problems. And that's really what you want from an edge defender, somebody that can disrupt the backfield, and he could do that in a high way. The other thing you have to have if you're going to play for Chris Kocurek is a relentless motor, which he does. He has an aggressive pursuit, consistently runs guys down, and with that 4.5 speed and run down players from behind, including getting after quarterbacks who are normally able to run away from defensive ends. Not in the case of Mo Kamara. That speed is absolutely fantastic. You throw in his hands to go with his great low center of gravity because of his size, and it adds a unique ability to be able to generate power and leverage that I really liked on film. So I like him a lot. He uses his body very well as well. So this is a guy that's had a tremendous amount of career production in college. He has 45 and a half tackles and 30 and a half sacks. Tremendous ability to be able to make things happen. And just the competitiveness that he plays, the versatility and athleticism that he shows to go along with the technique is exactly why Mo Kamara could be an absolute defensive gem. You get to late round four and the 49ers have three picks at the end of the fourth round. Mo Kamara would make a lot of sense in that area. 124, 132, 135 could be prime positions for the 49ers to take a chance on a speed guy that could make a lot of sense. Last year, I was very high on Byron Young out of Tennessee. He went to the Los Angeles Rams, and he was very good. Now, he was considered higher up in the draft, and he was definitely a better prospect overall because of some of the problems that you have with Kamara. But these guys aren't that far apart. This guy would be considered a poor man's version. I like him a lot. I think his weaknesses are that he doesn't have the ideal NFL size and length for an edge defender, which we know the 49ers don't always care about. And then sometimes he gets stuck in going after power moves. We talked a little bit about his bull rush, and he will get into the body of the offensive tackle too much and not use the other skills that he has. His number one skill set is speed, yet sometimes he relies too much on power and too much on his heavy hands. Those are things that he has to continue to work with. He also deals with a little bit of balance issues because he has too much of a forward lean occasionally. That's something that he needs to do, because if you get off your edges, if you are unable to keep your balance, these offensive linemen are going to snatch you down. The better ones will take that forward lean and put you right on your face and lay on top of you, a la Trent Williams. If he was going against Williams in training camp, Trent Williams would teach him that in a high way. Tends to be over-aggressive sometimes, which means he can miss tackles. He's a little overzealous. So he could also be susceptible to misdirection plays. Those are something to consider, but those are all coachable points, things he can work on, just noticeable when you watch him on film. The other thing he somewhat struggles with, and a lot of this has to do with the size and length, especially going against longer offensive tackles, is he struggles to disengage from offensive linemen once they establish control on him. Those are real problems, and that's why you have concerns about length. Get one of these guys with 34, 35 inch arms that go against him, and that could be a real struggle. And that also makes him a little bit more susceptible to not being as good setting the edge against the run. So question marks for him, but you're talking a late four, early five. In that range, you want the elite traits. So some of the things that he struggles with, we know, are things 49ers defenders often struggle with. So these are things that are noticeable, but in the fourth or fifth round range, he could be tremendous value. Mo Kamara, I would love in that position. Now, I'm going to stick with edge rusher for my second guy. And I don't know if any of you have heard about this guy, but this guy's definitely been on my radar. And apparently now he's on a few teams' radar, including the Philadelphia Eagles. They have been taking a look at my guy out of Air Force, Bo Richter. He runs a 4.5 40. He has a 40-inch vertical leap and 26 bench press reps, so 225, 26 times. The dude is put together. Here's the issue. Just like Mo Kamara, he's dealing with these undersides. He's 6'1", 248 pounds. We know that's kind of not that bad. That's got a lot of size for a 6'1 frame. The dude is absolutely got that skills. 23% pass rush win rate. He's got closing speed. Just like Mo Kamara, he runs guys down from behind. Quarterbacks are in trouble when he's around. And he looks absolutely explosive as an athlete. Changes direction very well, which you don't normally see from a defensive end. That's why Philadelphia Eagles are looking at him, right? He is a Hassan Reddick-type player. If you're looking to run any 3-4 in this league, Bo Richter is a solid prospect. Is a guy who shows the ability to play outside linebacker as well. Good size, good speed, good athleticism. Could potentially be good in coverage. So you wonder if the 49ers would be interested in a Bo Richter because of the type of influence Brandon Staley might have on the defense. He could drop some guys off into coverage, but Richter's ability to be able to run in space is very, very fun. So I like him. He's got a good, effective push-pull. He's got the great initial quickness that makes him a GTFO guy. That initial first step is exactly what you have to have and something that you got to examine when you're looking for one of these guys late in it. He's got a continuous motor. He never stops. It's almost like we're talking about similar players with Muhammad Kamara and with Bo Richter. It's just Kamara is definitely thought about in a more well thought out light. But if you watch Bo Richter's film, like, just go put it on. It's hard to find games of Bo Richter. So most of you go check out the highlights. If you're impressed by the highlights, then check out the film. I know I did. I checked out the highlights. I was impressed. Went to watch the film. Was even more impressed and made me find other guys from Air Force that I really like. So check out Bo Richter. He's got the coverage ability, and then he's got the alignment and role versatility. So that's what we're talking about. 3-4 teams could like him. 49ers might like him as an edge defender, especially if you start.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Getting in any these interesting type sets from Brandon Staley, any 3-4 looks, having a versatile edge guy like this could make a lot of sense for the 49ers. And here's the fun part about Bo Richter. He's a late day three guy or undrafted free agent. So this guy might just be a big potential player you bring in and have him compete, very little risk. So to me, Bo Richter's a guy that makes a lot of sense. His weaknesses, 6'1", he's 248, doesn't have the ideal size, doesn't have the ideal ability to set the edge consistently in the run. Now, one thing I will say about Richter that impressed me so much, he will give up his body, set an edge in the run game. He's very good about getting downhill in zone and running the ball down from behind. Tremendous athleticism, a tremendous playmaker. Bo Richter, I really like him. I think if he was available late in the draft, the 49ers should be interested in potentially making a pick. Maybe he's the 251. He's into the draft. Worried about maybe not getting him in the undrafted free agency. That would make a lot of sense. Bo Richter. So the two edge defenders for me, Muhammad Kamara out of Colorado State and Bo Richter out of Air Force. Both guys run 4.5s. Both guys jump through the roof. They're tremendous athleticism. Like both of those guys. Now I'm going to transition to the secondary, and I'm going to talk about safety. And one guy that I tried to trade up for in my mock draft, so if you watch the mock draft episode 2.0, I wanted to get my hands on a safety out of Georgia, Tyke Smith. This guy has the ability to play man and zone. Very tremendous. He's got good athleticism, good speed at 4.46. That's tremendous. That's a top 84% of guys at the position. That's fantastic. He's 23 years old. Tremendous player. He's got a high IQ. So when you're talking about guys who understand football, he does at a high level. He understands what he's looking at. He has excellent awareness and coverage, and he recognizes routes in both man and zone. And 49ers like to play more zone than they play man, but occasionally you want to go ahead and line up in man, and Tyke Smith is one of those guys that could do it. He's very good. He's very good in run defense, and he makes quick decisions and then gets downhill, is able to disrupt blockers effectively and make tackles. One thing I like about Tyke is he's not just a player that can play safety, but he can also play nickel as well. Position versatility. I like this guy a lot. If you said that he came in and he ended up starting at nickel, that would not shock me. That's how good that Tyke Smith is. He's very versatile. He can play all positions. He's got that ability to do anything you want in scheming. If you're looking for a star position, if you're Brandon Staley and you want that specific spot, this is a guy that has the versatility to do it. He's good against the run. He's good in the nickel. He's good as a free safety over the top. Tremendous for what the 49ers are looking for, so they could really scheme him up. He's got great ball skills. He times interceptions at a high level, good at pass breakups. He had 4 interceptions last year, so he makes plays on the football. He's smooth and fluid in his backpedal transitions, and then he's got a good burst to get out of it. That really helps his coverage capabilities. When you can go in your pedal and then you can explode out without losing time, you have that fluidity within your hips. He does it. I mean, he's fantastic to watch. He's a strong tackler. He brings the wood. Physicality is something that he's not afraid of, and he makes big-time hits. People will feel him. He has a 49ers mentality of how to play football. Heavy hits, would take after Dre Greenlaw. I think he would be fantastic. The guy is absolutely competitive on the field, and the coaches said, from what I saw, that he has a strong work ethic. So those are great. The other thing that could be great, he could be a big special teams help right away. Whether the 49ers put him in the safety room and have a versatility to play nickel, or he comes in as a nickel corner, the 49ers got a player that they can really like here. So let's talk about some of the weaknesses. He doesn't have the ideal size or arm length, which are going to get a lot of teams looking down on him, and that could make him a little susceptible to dealing with the bigger, more physical wide receivers, which is always a problem for cornerbacks, and also shedding blockers in the run game. So he's got to make sure he uses his quickness, uses angles, and uses his technique to get off blockers in the run game. There's also the question marks. Even though he has tremendous speed, there's still question marks if his speed is elite. So that's something to remember. And then the things that I like about him, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff, but he does have some injury concerns. He's had a significant ACL injury at one point, and so you wonder if, you know, the 49ers will have question marks about his durability moving forward. But tremendous player. I like him a lot. I mean, he jumps off the screen. Tyke Smith, fourth round, once again, those compensatory picks into the fourth round would make a lot of sense if he's there. I don't know how somebody doesn't jump on this guy, but fourth, fifth round for Tyke Smith would be a really solid spot, and the 49ers could get a guy that's versatile that fits the defense. Now I'm going back to Air Force. Told you there were some other guys I like. Only one of them is going to make this list, but Trey Taylor, the safety out of Air Force. This is a guy that can play zone. He could be a zone slot and a nickel safety, so the ability to play both, something that I look for, because that's what the 49ers look for, versatility to be able to step in the slot when you have to cover. Now, Tyke Smith can cover in man coverage in the slot. I don't know if Trey Taylor could do that. I don't think he's good enough to do that. Now, when you look at his 40 time, he runs a 4.53, very effective as far as being a safety. The 49ers don't really care too much about top-end speed. Taulo Afonga ran a 4.6. They've talked to Sione Vaki, who I didn't put on the list because I think everyone talks about him, but he ran a 4.6 as well. But 49ers, as far as speed-wise, Trey Taylor would be definitely fast enough to do that. Now, the thing that I like about him is his ability to come down and cover tight ends. He's got the length that you're looking for. So this is a guy that's big. He's got the speed, and he can run with these guys. I like him. Cover tight ends. He's got the hips to be able to turn and run with any of the tight ends down the field. So if you're looking for a guy to take away tight ends now that Tashawn Gibson hasn't re-signed, this guy would make a lot of sense. And I'm not saying he starts year one, but you're building towards potentially having a guy that can step in if you need him. He has good body control and balance, which means he can make breaks over the middle of the field, and he can control his body and get up and get the ball. And that's one thing he really does well. He has good ball skills. Change of direction is really there. And he can mirror the quicker receivers underneath. And that's a tough thing to do in zone coverage, be able to mirror those guys as they come through your zone. You're not just covering grass, you're covering bodies. He does a very good job with that. So the guy plays with great accurate angles. He's got good length, and he's a fluid mover. Those are always good. Now, here's the key for the safeties that we always talk about with the 49ers. They have to play this way. And just like Tyke Smith, he has a linebacker's mentality. He attacks downhill, and he delivers violent hits on ball carriers. Those are necessities when you're playing safety in the 49ers defense. The guy does a good job tracking the football. He gets his head around in time. Those are always good. So not only can you make a play on the football, but you don't get penalties. I like that a lot about him. Now, when you're talking about some things that maybe have concerns and probably why he's going to be a fifth-round pick, round where the 49ers love to make some plays, when you're looking at his ankles and hips, he probably lacks the flexibility that you like from your supreme athletes at the position, which can create some of his bad footwork when he's trying to redirect. He's also, because he has that linebacker mentality, a little over-aggressive at times. What are we talking about with Tyke Smith, right? This is the same sort of thing. Over-aggressiveness can cause you to go the wrong way. And also, you know, you could be susceptible to being out of position on counterplay. So that's something to worry about. And he has some man coverage skills, but he can struggle if he's sitting back in the deep third in zone coverage. Those are some things that I saw when it came to reading downfield routes. So those are things about Trey Taylor. You know, I really like the player. It's not common to find a bunch of, you might find one player from Air Force, but to find a couple, there's actually another linebacker that I like from there as well. So they've got some talent at Air Force, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Trey Taylor will get drafted probably in the fifth or sixth round. Very good player. Tyke Smith, fourth or fifth round. Both those guys, tremendous at the safety position. Now let's switch to linebacker. No, Dre Greenlaw is going to be out. How long? We don't know. Could he be back week one? Maybe. Could he be back in the middle of the season? Potentially. 49ers went out and got Devondre Campbell in free agency to have him. They bought back Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. Those are the veterans. Then you have Jalen Graham, and you have D. Winners. So you have some young guys. Winners, a sixth-round pick. Graham, a seventh-round pick. We're talking about more late-round picks at linebacker. There's a lot of tremendous linebackers at the top of the draft. I just don't know if the 49ers address it early. Maybe if they didn't have Campbell, but we're going to talk about a couple of guys. One guy, a more traditional linebacker, somebody that I'm a huge fan of, that's Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi State. And I've seen him going as deep as the sixth or seventh round, which could be the case. But I like his nose for the football. I like his aggressive style. And he's a guy that, even though he's not completely always a 49er fit in all categories, there are things that make him a fit. And I think he could help the team. And I also think he would be a beast on special teams. Plus, he could end up on the practice squad and help the team eventually. So the dude's got a lot of ability, a 4.63. He is 6'1". He's 236 pounds, a lot of size. Some say he's 6'2". Really big guy. Nearly 24 years old. So he's been around for a while. He's got great hustle and athleticism. He makes plays in the flat against running backs in the passing game. He's got the ability to knock away passes. He does that really good, especially when coming after the quarterback. He shows the quickness to get down the line of scrimmage and to be able to make plays chasing and tackling people. He's a chase and tackle linebacker. He has the ability to play Mike, Will, and Sam. He does have the ability to play all three. I like that about him. He has good angles, and he has the ability to shoot gaps as a run defender. That's one of the things I like when I'm watching my linebackers, is I like their nose for the football, but I want to see how they get downhill. Do they locate their open window and they get downhill and make the play on the ball carrier? Each one of them have gap responsibilities, and finding a linebacker that doesn't read too long but reads quickly, uses the proper footwork, gets downhill into the window and makes tackles is exactly what we're looking for. That's why I like Nathaniel so much. Nathaniel Watson has that ability to do that. He's a big, aggressive hitter. He likes to lay the wood, very a la Dre Greenlaw as far as he gives it all, and he lets you know about it when he hits you as well. He does a good job with that. He has great awareness to locate the ball. He's always got his eyes on the ball. He does a good job with that, and he's got the athleticism you need, and he's a guy that can play Mike, and the 49ers don't have many linebackers that can play Mike. Right now, Fred Warner, maybe Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, Jalen Graham started working that last year at training camp, and I think Graham's got an eye on that, but everybody else doesn't really play Mike, and Azeez Al-Shaair was always that guy. Bringing Nathaniel Watson in could be a good job and a way to go. Jalen Graham maybe steps up onto the current roster, and you start working with Watson as a guy that could potentially step in and make some plays. He's very thickly built. He's got the great strength that you need to have, and he can make a lot of plays if he's fitting in the right scheme, and I think the 49ers would be the right scheme. So when you're talking about his weaknesses, he's not one of those guys that's sudden and quick as an athlete. He's a little bit more deliberate, but he uses the intellect and intelligence to be able to get to the spots where he needs to be. Of course, just like always, he's not going to be the strongest guy out there. He doesn't have the supreme size and strength that some of the other linebackers do. And then he's not long. So because he's shorter, he's not like Fred Warner where he has the length to get away from and disengage from offensive guys. He has to use his ability to be able to use angles and to use his rip move and be able to avoid blockers and make tackles. And then sometimes, occasionally, he looks too hesitant, which we know is something you don't want. You want to pull the trigger and go, but it's a problem for most linebackers. A lot of linebackers are hesitant. They don't trust their eyes. They don't trust their instincts from what they're reading. But that could be very much developed, because if you get into a system like Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw, where these guys understand the reads of the defenses and understand what offenses are trying to do, and they relate that to him, then all of a sudden it takes a lot of the guessing out of the game, and you start understanding angles that offensive linemen are playing and certain types of schemes, and then you can be where you're supposed to be depending on formation and overall look of the play, and that could really help advance. A lot of it's mental. You have to make sure you figure it out. I think Nathaniel Watson could do it. So I like him a lot, and I think that he could be a guy late in the draft the 49ers get, come in, compete in training camp, potentially help on special teams, but maybe even stash on the practice squad and have him capable of being ready in case something happens to Jalen Graham or one of those other linebackers, because he would be superb on special teams with his run ability. 4-6 is not slow for a linebacker. He does a very good job. I like him a lot. Now we're going to talk about a transitional player. And one thing we know about the 49ers, they like to take former safeties and turn them into linebackers. Fred Warner's one. Jalen Graham, another one. Azeez Al-Shaair, another one. Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles, another one. Marcel Harris, another one. So when you start talking 49ers, sometimes you look for guys that could be safety transitioners. And the next guy I'm going to talk about is one of those guys, James Williams out of Miami. And this guy's got tremendous size, 6'5", he's 235 pounds. He runs a 4.6 40, got a lot of size and speed. And this is not just me saying I think he's going to transition, but a lot of the other databases around are saying the same thing. This guy looks to be a transitional player because of some of his coverage inadequacy in the NFL. So this is a guy, he's only 21 years old. He's got the ability to turn himself into a coverage linebacker in the NFL. And I think he fits. Got elite size, length. 49ers like that. Look at Fred Warner. Look at Jalen Graham. This would be that kind of player a la. Now, this guy's tremendous in coverage for a linebacker because he wasn't so bad even as a safety. So let's talk about his strengths. He's eager to come downhill as a tackler, and he can play the edge very physical. So he's setting the edge, coming up in run fits. He did a good job. That's what makes it look like he can transition to play linebacker in the NFL. He's a very effective blitzer, had some huge hits on the quarterback from the film that I watched. He has the NFL frame, where we're talking about some of the guys that we've talked about not having the ideal size, weight, speed. This guy does. He's just transitioning position, so you have to project it a little bit. And so, you know, if he played linebacker at college, he may have been a lot higher than this because of his abilities to run. So you got to love that. He's one of those guys that closes quickly, drives on footballs, on underneath routes, and then he tackles with a thumb. Once again, physicality. Watson, physicality. Everybody I'm talking about plays with a sense of physicality and aggressiveness you have to play in the 49ers defense. I think it's necessary. It's not a finesse-type team. That's not what they do. They like guys that bring it. Even look at the guys they currently have. Demo, very physical. Jair Brown, physical. Talano Hufanga, physical. Everyone's a hitter.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's what they look for. He has good body control and balance, so he can redirect and change direction. Of course, he's a safety, so that is huge. He's got a big, tall frame, and he has strong hands, which means he's got a good catch radius. We normally don't talk about that with linebackers, but in this case, we can. And what have we seen Fred Warner do so much over the middle of the field? Knock footballs away because of his elite length. So that's really good. He has great route recognition because he played safety, so he understands concepts and crossing routes. He will be in the right spots at the right times. He's really good at that kind of stuff. So he also shows the ability to go sideline to sideline with speed, which we know you have to do in San Francisco, which means he can cover a lot of the plays on the flats. Now, you were looking for a guy to match up with tight ends. Does it get any better than this? I mean, does it get any better than James Williams at 6'5", 230 pounds, being able to play linebacker, and a team trying to put you in a base 4-3, and you have this guy in the field, and he's able to cover the tight end outright in the slot? That's tremendous ability, and we've seen some of the advantages in Baltimore do this a lot with having a player of this type. So he's got that ability. A good read and react ability as well. I like that about him. So, I mean, this is a guy that he has the right skills. Can he translate to playing linebacker? Can he play can he disengage from offensive linemen? Those are question marks. Now, he has the length. He has the size. He could probably put on another 10 pounds on his frame and be even more physical at the position. But size, length, ability, coverage, I love that. Flexibility, versatility to play multiple roles within the 49ers' new defensive scheme. I love it. Now, his weaknesses, of course, how is he going to translate from playing safety to linebacker? Is he going to be instinctual enough in the run game playing that close? Some guys, when they play further back, they're to read, so they're a lot better at being able to see what's going on, get downhill, and make the tackle. Being in the box could be a little bit of an issue. We'll see how that happens. So it's something that's interesting just from that category if he comes into play linebacker. And of course, he's going to have to work on his techniques against blocks. We talked about that a little bit, but I put that in my weaknesses. And it's just, is he going to be able to recognize what the offensive is doing? It's all about vision. It's all about understanding. He's been playing a different position. I think he could. And if that's the case, it would make a lot of sense for him to be in San Francisco. Now, another guy that I like at safety, and this is my own transition. This has nothing to do, I haven't seen this anywhere else, is Jalen Carlisle from Missouri. He's a safety. He runs a 4.5 40. Another guy that's big, 6'3", 230 pounds, can really move, and I like him. He's 22, so he's a little bit older, making his transition. But, you know, he's a guy that's got real ability to cover. He's good in space, but he's got good instincts and anticipation. He gets downhill and he makes plays. Does a really good job of shedding blocks. Of course, this is coming from safety. Good toughness. I like him. He's able to blow plays up, blow screens up like crazy. But you're looking for guys who have versatility to do things that maybe you haven't done within this defense. As the defense changed a little bit, could these guys come in? You know, could you get, you know, guys like James Williams and Jalen Carlisle to come in and make some plays? I think he's got the ability to do so. Good recognition. But he's got a good, long, lean build. He looks like a guy that fits in the NFL. Now, he could end up playing safety. A team might see him as a safety, and that would potentially make a lot of sense. But I think he's got the versatility to play both, and that's exactly what, you know, you need. But his weaknesses is why I think he needs to move to linebacker, is his understanding of route concepts and his vision in coverage aren't really up to the levels of an NFL safety right now. I mean, he could learn. He runs well, but he doesn't have elite recovery speed, which is problems in coverage, especially if you have a deep third. So he could be a box safety for some teams. And, of course, he has not the best recognition skills when he's in zone coverage. So another guy that would make sense transitioning to the position. That's why I really like him there. So I think he would make sense, James Williams and Jalen Carlisle, switching positions from safety to linebacker. Looks like James Williams is going to do it, but Carlisle, I would think the 49ers would be interested in the same sort of thing happening there. He's the safety one of the safeties out of Missouri. Really liked him. Good player, but that was the very first thing. As soon as I saw him, I didn't see safety. I saw linebacker, and knowing how the 49ers go about their linebackers, it made a lot of sense for me. Now, this is going to be a guy at the nickel corner position as I go into my corners that I've talked about a lot. And if you heard me on my mock drafts, I've taken him before. I took him in the first mock draft. A lot of people were like, why are you taking three safeties? Well, in this case, this guy's not going to play safety, at least in my opinion, inside the NFL. I think he transitions really nice to being a nickel corner. And that's Miller Bradford. He's a safety out of TCU. He's got 5'10", is 190 pounds, runs a 4.42. He's got the speed. He can move and he can change direction. In 2023, he was a fifth-year senior. He played in 12 games. He logged over 606 snaps. He had 50 tackles, 13 assisted tackles, and in coverage, he had 6 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and the quarterback rating when he was targeted, 56.1. Very good job. So this is a guy that played well in coverage, and every single year he was in college, his coverage grade got better. It's just better and better as he figures out what's going on. Now, the reason I like him and I love him in the nickel, gives up his body and run support. He comes up and just physically plays the edge really well. And we know the 49ers need a nickel corner that can play it tough. That's why they like transitional safety type players to play that position. And he's got that ability, the size and speed. It makes more sense to play nickel corner in the NFL. He has very good ball skills and he tracks the ball well downfield. He's got the ability to come away with interceptions, but he's just not targeted often. Why? Because he's in good coverage. You don't get thrown on if you're covering well. So the fact that he's not targeted very much is good. He has good instincts in zone coverage, and he loves to come up to the line of scrimmage and make plays. He's got good cover quickness for underneath routes and good mirroring ability, great change of direction. So we know that that's something you have to have playing nickel corner. They can go inside, they can go outside. You have to be able to change direction on the drop of a dime, and he can do that. That's why I like him so much. The fluidity, speed, and quick feet are something I really like. It means he can cover quick, fast slot receivers in man coverage. Once again, a guy like Tyke Smith, we talked about at safety, that has the ability to cover in man coverage as well. That's something that Bradford can do. And then he's good job at breaking down his space and being a good tackler after a catch. One of the keys is just not allowing yards after the catch. Miller Bradford does that a good way. He's 5'10". He's not very big, 190 pounds, but he brings physicality, another thumper. He hits hard for his size. So those are things that I really like about him. I love this film. I don't know why more people don't talk about him. I think he could be an absolute gem in the 6th, 7th round for the 49ers to be able to get. Now, what are the things he needs to work on? He needs to get better in his pursuit angles. Those are something that he could work on. A lot of that was coming from safety, less angles playing nickel. But when he was at safety, those were real problems for him. And so sometimes he gives too much cushion. And we've seen this from 49ers defenders before. Give too much cushion and they allow plays underneath. Sometimes he has that. But he also doesn't get thrown on very much. So it's not one of those things that's a problem. And now here's something that's a weakness that pretty much almost every guy I've talked about on this list has. They're too aggressive sometimes, which makes them out of control, miss tackles, or go the wrong direction and could be susceptible to other things. So that's just who he is. I mean, the dude's a going after the football like Miller Bradford. Okay, now my other corner, Darian Jones, cornerback, Florida State. And you might have heard a lot about him. I'm a Florida State guy. He runs a 4.38, and the reason I'm talking about him is because he's getting mocked in the 4th through 5th round, and he's a tremendous talent. He could easily go in the 3rd round, but this is a guy that's probably going to go in the 4th round because of some of the question marks. But 4.38, he's just got alignment versatility. He can play nickel. He can play outside. He's got all that ability. You want to put him on the outside, he could do that for sure. He's one of those guys you scheme to use his abilities, tremendous athleticism. He's just got crazy athleticism in all areas, and I think that he's somebody I like using in coverage and against the run. So that's what makes him a nickel corner. Love him. He could play man. He could play zone. He gets up there and gets physical and contests passes. Very good. Now, he's a good communicator as well. He makes sure he talks to his teammates. You could see him often before plays, communicating with other cornerbacks and safeties on the field, which makes them able to do things that you need to do as far as covering multiple players. He's aggressive in run support, comes up and tackles very well, is able to get off blockers pretty well. He plays good in off-man coverage. He's got very quick feet, so those are always good. He knows how to use leverage. And then he's one of those guys that can physically disrupt receivers' timing. So if he's going to come up there and jam him, he makes sure that he does a good job with that. Now, with weaknesses, sometimes being able to accelerate and get to the speed that he needs to get to Can be a little bit of a problem, which means sometimes deep threats can beat him, or some of the other guys switch gears really quick to their speed. He's not one of those guys. Sometimes he's susceptible to slant routes and things that are really sharp because of him not being able to sink his hips and then drive on footballs effectively. Probably why he's making it to the fourth round, even though could be in the third for sure. His footwork can be inconsistent at times, so that can be a little bit of an issue. And then he can struggle with tackling reliability. So even though he comes up hard, he's aggressive, he's physical, like the other guys, aggressiveness doesn't always lead to getting guys on the ground. And then you wonder, does he have the necessary physicality for stopping power, stop someone on the dime and not give up an extra couple yards? Those are things you see sometimes that could be a little bit of an issue. But Jerrion Jones is a very, very talented. I think he'd make a lot of sense for the 49ers if they went, you know, late in this draft. So just to recap, Muhammad Kamara and Bo Richter, both those guys at the edge position, Tyke Smith and Trey Taylor at the safety position, Nathaniel Watson and James Williams, of course, James Williams translating to linebacker. Same with Jalen Carlees, who that's my own translating. And then at the nickel position, Miller Bradford at a TCU, I see him playing nickel corner in the NFL, and Jerrion Jones out of Florida State. And the thing was, I looked at defensive tackles, and honestly, I didn't see the guys that were talented. There was a couple of guys that I thought, you know, they had some ability, but not enough that I thought they were gems. I think they're undrafted free agent guys. I didn't really want to talk about some of the guys that are, you know, the third round, fourth round grade. So I didn't really get into that, but very talented players that are available for 49ers. Of course, I'll do an offensive gems one. It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for joining. Like and subscribe to the channel. This episode brought to you by Bet On. The game starts here, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.